We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by Lloyd's Electric Service, proud sponsor of Talk Sports right here on Fan Run Radio. Check them out online at LloydsElectricService.com.
Hey, pick up the pace back there with this makeup. You've been dragging it out for 30 minutes.
Safety, quality, and experience. It's Lloyd's Electric Service.
Beauty takes time, Houston.
You take longer than women. This is the whole idea is you do it fast.
I'm working, too. It's called multitasking.
You've got time.
Call Lloyd's at 865-692-6700. 865-692-6700. Or LloydsElectricService.com. He's got his foundation down. Have you started powdering yet?
Yeah, I've already done that.
You've powdered?
Yeah.
How do you think he looks, Houston?
Nothing. He hasn't done anything. Okay. There's no color added. Let's go. Pick up the
pace. I'm building the brakes. Calm down.
You had an hour.
I can only do 2 hours at a time.
I'm talking about the makeup.
I had 30 minutes.
They come pre-built. Anyway.
No. I have a lot to make the show sound as good as it does.
He's making stuff up.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know what the show sounds like? You don't listen.
I mean, the brakes and stuff, I pay attention.
There's a station in Houston I used to work at where you actually had to build the brakes.
Every time.
It's really funny.
Yeah, you think you got it hard.
You guys seriously. Always go over, so I got to move stuff around.
Gotta sorry.
Cut certain
you guys.
Things.
That's your job.
You're on the show. You're supposed to keep us on schedule. It's called producing.
So you remember when Jeremy Pruitt said, yeah, Brian Maurer will start. Just can't have a completely awful, terrible, no good, very bad week of practice.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Apparently yesterday, at least in the media was out there, he was not very good.
Great.
Which I'm not worried about. I just think it's kind of funny. I mean, I don't know. Trey said they got like 10 minutes. I'm not worried about it. But it is kind of an of course ironic moment that of course Pruitt would say, yeah, as long as he's not terrible at practice, of course he'll be the starter. And then they bracketed him and Garantano with an or, which is just, I mean, isn't this kind of the, I don't know, like if I'm Jarrett, I kind of just want to know, like just go ahead and tell me, hey, you're the backup. Till this guy screws up or gets hurt, which one of those two, probably a good chance it'll happen at some point during the year. Mm-hmm. So stay ready.
Stay ready.
I mean, that's kind of the problem. That
if you stay ready, you never have to get
Butch
ready.
Butch Jones had. Like, he tried to make Jarrett feel good when things weren't good. Like, just be honest with the kid. And if he can't handle it, he can't handle it. But I'm sick and tired of this, like, well, we got to treat Jared Garantano like he's a 10-year-old.
Maybe that's not what it is. Maybe
feelings.
he really is just worried that Maurer will have a bad week of practice. Yeah. And that Jared will
maybe
getting
better
benched against Georgia.
I heard
woke
as he was
Jared
being
up.
As the media were being escorted off, there was a dime from Maurer to Callaway for like over 40 yards.
Maybe they're just maybe they're sandbagging the media. Trying to fool us.
Yeah.
Hey guys, just dirt a bunch when they're out here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. Just get your arm warmed up. Doesn't matter if it's but then they said Chaney gave him an earful.
Yeah, Chaney was all over all the quarterbacks. Apparently, Garantano wasn't good either. Like they just and then the wide receivers dropped some passes too, and it which wasn't very good. But again, you know, one period or whatever,
that's
not that
the
big
Tennessee
a deal.
I know.
But that play you're talking about was Callaway roasted Kenneth George deep.
Okay,
and Maurer hit him. So I think that's. We need more where that came from. We've already seen it once. We need as much of Maurer to Callaway deep as possible.
It was a good combo.
Like, I mean, really, if that should have been day one. Like, Jim Chaney should have gotten here, unpacked his boxes, the quarterbacks walk in, and the first thing he tells them
see
is...
See number one with the dreads and the bun? Him.
Any man coverage you see with these... Three receivers, really, but at least Juwan and Callaway.
I was going to say, Palmer. Where's Palmer been?
I don't know. He's had
he vanished.
Year.
Vanished this year.
Well, they threw it to him whenever the ball got picked.
I wish they would push Juwan straight down the seam more from the slot. I see other teams do that constantly in college football. The outside receiver.
Use him almost like a tight end split out, kind of? Well, where they run the. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
In
like,
the slot, and the outside receiver just. Smokes it basically, just stands there, bounces back behind the line of scrimmage, and you use that width to just go deep. And that way, like, even if he's covered, you can throw it more to the sideline put it on the back shoulder, and he's got all this space just to, you know, dominate.
It's basically like Juwan in space.
It's basically like a Hail Mary every play you want it, you know, which is his best play.
He is pretty good.
It's really both their best plays. In fact, that Saturday's down south, they had like a promo for it with Marty, the ESPN guy, mm-hmm. here on campus, and he was talking with T. Martin.
And thank you for clarifying which T.
Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings, and talking about their two Hail Mary catches, you know. Juwan's, of course.
No one catches Hail Mary
between
like
the hedges
Tennessee.
And the one that Marquez Callaway took away from Juwan last year against Kentucky.
I still think Juwan would have caught that. If Callaway doesn't catch it, I think Juwan does. Yeah. We had two touchdowns
Juwan,
on that play.
Juwan
already messed his knee up.
Juwan basically was saying he's kind of mad that he did take it away from him. And Callaway said, yeah, I really shouldn't have done that. Like, he had it. He said, but I knew I could grab it, and I figured as long as I don't drop it,
yep.
no one will be mad. He goes, but I did have the thought did flash through, don't drop this or everybody's going to hate you. Like, this is going to be bad.
Nah, we were dominating that game. I wouldn't have hated him. I would have been like, oh.
Yeah. Okay.
But he didn't drop it. He caught it.
But we need more of that. That's how they beat Auburn.
Georgia Ball
last
says
year.
We're setting up Mississippi State with the mad reports on Maurer.
Okay.
Nah, they're going to, we're going to see two quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and Maurer's not playing well. Setting them up. Joe Moorhead, welcome to the jungle. Third down.
You know, a lot. Good
Lord. The difference in guessing and knowing. Mm-hmm. No comment.
Yeah, that. We need to write a blog post about that at some point. Maybe at the end of the year. So, also, Kasim Hill was working as Tommy Stevens' practice, scout team.
And Schrader or just Stevens?
Just Stevens. Somebody else was being Schrader.
I mean, just going back real quick, theoretically, we still can get 9 wins.
Turn your mic off.
I'm just saying.
Going back to what? Who said that?
Well, you made the state-run joke, and they had people going saying 9 and 3 on the season.
Oh, now that you clarified, I get what you were saying.
Oh, yeah, the difference in guessing and knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really new.
Still on the table, though. You're right.
It's true.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They're not wrong until they're wrong. I said 7-5.
I mean, you can't win 9 in the regular season.
No, but they didn't.
Didn't specify.
They did, because, I mean, like, if you go 9-3, but I'm willing to help them out a little bit.
Okay, okay.
I shouldn't.
I will count it as them being right if we get 9 wins, counting the bowl victory.
Yeah, I would give them credit for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just worried about getting to 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're at 1 at the moment. It'd be a big number 2 Saturday.
Also, I went back and watched Pruitt's press conference uh-huh. yesterday. He clarified that Stevens and Schrader are different.
Oh, he did?
But that they do run with both, I think is what he was saying.
Schrader's
a better runner, but they still call the same play.
So he's saying the defense needs to be prepared for either to take off and run.
Yes, exactly.
Or
yeah.
Every game that Tommy Stevens has started, if he's the leading passer, Kylan Hill is the leading rusher, and then they got a guy named Mitchell who's the leading wide receiver.
Osiris Mitchell.
But
or Osiris.
Schrader is starting. He's the leading passer, and he's the leading rusher from Mississippi State.
Well, you know what Moorhead's been saying this week? We might play both of them at the same time. And he did that at Penn State with McSorley and Stevens.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
Moorhead's going to dial up some gems,
some
isn't
stuff.
He?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, he's going to try.
Oh, I don't blame him. Turn your mic off if you're going to make weird sounds.
I spilled. I didn't realize this was upside down.
Oh my God. Did you have a paper towel underneath your.
Fortunately, I did, Nate.
It's good, David.
But still.
What was it?
I think it's the bronzer. I think.
Is it?
Put it on. Hustle.
I'm trying. Well,
Nate had his on in like 5 minutes. I don't know what are you doing back there?
Like I said, beauty takes time.
We don't want you to look good. The whole point is that you do it fast and sloppy because you're a guy. The fact that you researched this and wanted to know how to make it look good is weird.
By researching, you mean I watched a video while I was on air so I didn't have to listen to you. Then yes, I'll give you credit for that.
He does look better with the foundation and the powder. He might need to just go with that
look all
the
time. Looks like that spray tan the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. If you got a spray really tan pale. And wore some makeup.
I don't sleep well, so I got a lot of dark bags under the eyes. So.
Mm-hmm. No, here we go.
Got a contour.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
You can tell from one side to the other?
A little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. You know, we got the camera. Yeah.
You're not on camera.
Okay.
So, good luck with that.
Try not to spill stuff all over the soundboard.
Yeah. And the little comments, just, we're trying to do a radio show over here, man. Just put your makeup on.
I feel like we're getting punished today.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's being so, like just a jerk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you lost because we gave you Tennessee. Sorry. You should have drawn a different helmet.
I mean, if we'd have given him Auburn, he's still lost anyway.
That's true. So that's true.
Can we talk on that? I had been anti-Auburn all of the season, and then the one game I decided to go in. Yeah. Yeah. Cooling effect.
Yeah.
Went into play.
True. We'll hit Fade a break. Davey. We'll I don't know. See if he can get more of this makeup on. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by Conky Digital. If you need a visual and you're watching on Periscope, here is the Conky Yeti Cooler. Ready, filled for your tailgate pack.
And wrapped.
Yeah, it's all ready to go. You win the cooler, you win the $50 gift card, and it's a Food City to fill it up with your favorite, you know, beverages of choice. Plus, there's all kinds of other stuff. And if you're on Periscope, there it is in all its glory. Just head on over to FoxSportsKnoxville.com, click the banner ad, register absolutely free, and you're entered to win this one. And if you don't win this one, you're also automatically entered to win the one that they'll be giving out at the next home game, I believe. So next couple of home games, they'll be drawing winners, and it's all made possible with Conky Digital. That's KONKI Digital.com for all their digital marketing services. Check them out right there online. It's Conky D. Connection is key. Davey's working on his makeup.
No, he's not.
Well, he's helping out some other stuff. Moment. I just meant
that's a lot
general.
Of stuff in that cooler.
It's a lot heavier than I thought it was going to
be. Overflowed.
Yeah.
I guess that's a good thing. If you win it, you got a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Big giveaway.
Shouts out to Vince. He won the first one. So he'll, you know, obviously be ineligible to win this one. But
congrats, Vince.
Get your entries in now because they have to cut them off at some point, you know, heading into the weekend. I think tomorrow. So you want to get entered now so that you're entered for cooler two and cooler three, give you a better chance to win.
Makes sense.
There you go.
Play the odds. So if you enter once and don't win, you're entered for all three.
Yeah.
There gotcha. You
go. Makes Easy sense. Enough.
You're in till you win, or we give them all away.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, we've got some issues with injuries on the offensive line a little bit. Kayron Calvert was back at practice yesterday, though, so that's good. He got a little banged up in the game.
Ankle?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
Riley Locklear, remember we talked about him on Monday, and then Pruitt said, I don't like to use the word concussion. He got his bell rung. So yesterday, Locklear was watching practice, but didn't practice. He was watching, but didn't go.
Even if that's what he thinks, I don't think I'd say it in 2019.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think
he's just, you know.
Not a great look.
No.
So, I don't know. I was thinking, this is weird. I was thinking about the offensive line last night. I mean, we talked a lot about talent and how do you compare like expectations and talent and it, you know, it's easy when it's Georgia State and it's easy when it's Alabama. Like some of these other rebuilds and matchups, they're a lot more nuanced. For example, I was watching Florida's 24/7 HBO show. I mean, Dan Mullen took over Florida the same year Jeremy Pruitt took over Tennessee, but it been a the level the plane that those two teams are on is completely different. And people really argue about how different the talent was. But when we look at the offensive line, I mean, even if you're starting true freshmen, like I mean, Tennessee could have 5-star left tackle, 5-star right tackle, 5-star left guard, 4-star center,
mm-hmm.
veteran too, like a guy that, I mean, have you heard Brandon Kenny? Like anytime he talks about football, I mean, like you can tell why they don't challenge him at center with any other player.
He knows it.
Like even
I thought he had a pretty good game against Georgia too.
He's been better than I was afraid after that West Virginia game last year, and that's really the only time we got to see him that he wouldn't be that good. I think he's been fine. You need the center to be kind of a guy that like is lighter, can move around and can coach the rest of the line. So really, like, eliminating all the other options, because there's just a bunch, and no one seems to be able to coach these guys in a pecking order and have one guy that obviously stands out from the rest. The coaches have even said that. I mean, to me, you really only need, like, one guy at right guard. Like, figure it out. I mean, just let the freshman play at the other spots. It obviously hasn't mattered. You know how we talked about, like, going to the Georgia State game, you're going to play more the freshman or more the veteran guy? Like, give the freshman the reps. Who cares? You really just need to find a right guard, and you're good to go. And I don't know. And this line from a just star power level, I mean, I know your tackles will be young, and that's going to be tough at times, but, like, I feel like, I hope, by the end of the year, like, these last, like, three games, like, the line can maybe become more of a strength.
Look like you've done that before. That's the fire red?
Fire red. I don't know. What's it say, Davey? It's got a name on it, I think. It might be on the other.
Scarlet Flame.
Oh, Scarlet Flame.
Shout out Maybelline. Cut the check.
Maybe she's born with it. Good job, Dave. Finally got the lipstick on. An hour later.
How about the eyeshadow? Is the eyeshadow on? You're kind of behind the mic.
Can't really tell.
Close your eyes.
No, it's on.
Oh, yeah.
Could be worse. I guess that tutorial video really helped out. Get a text from a listener/viewer that says, it's not the Mac counter. They don't even take this long. I guess that's the place in the mall where they do it for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they're professionals.
Yeah, I would think they would be able to do it fast. Or maybe it takes a while because they do so many different steps
and
layers.
They do, yeah,
and,
exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Learning on the fly, man. It's kind of like Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay.
And it's not turning out very well.
Davey.
It's not Optimism Tuesday. He's allowed to say things like that.
Okay, true. His, is that the bronzer? It looks like eye black, but it's brown.
It's bronze.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a little bit of.
I spilt most of that. Just
Arnold
FYI.
Schwarzenegger in Terminator or Predator.
If you took that over your nose, you look like Brian Maurer in the Florida game. Did you notice he didn't wear any of that for his?
It was a night
start?
Game.
Yeah, but guys still wear eye black for night games for the lights.
Nah, you just need it when it's sunny.
What did he have over his nose at Florida? Wasn't that like a breathe right strip though?
I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't see that. I guess he had his helmet on when I was watching.
You could see it. Through the helmet and the clear shield.
All right. I think I'm done. Finally.
You look...
Screenshot that one.
It's like the Charlie Kelly look when he's doing the kitten mittens.
No one knows.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm sure there's a lot of people who understand It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't watch it, but now I at least...
I don't know what kitten mittens are.
Mittens for your cat.
Well, while we're at it, because we got tweeted about it, the George Pickens video is not real. First of all, this college football quotes in quote account, just block it. And then you don't have to worry about this.
Yeah, I actually meant to do that last night.
This is the worst account ever. Like, it's not even funny.
Like, I'm surprised. Like, something like that's pretty serious. That feels like libel. Like, assaulting someone's character and saying they're in a video doing something very violent.
I mean, if you're George Pickens in the draft in 2.5, 3 years, whatever... Like, and somebody even realizes this is fake, but then has that image in the back of their mind. Like, they could be biased towards him as a player, even though they, even if they know it came out as false. And there are some people that might never get the memo, you know? Ugh. I mean, when I saw it last night, there was hundreds of replies, and hardly any of them were saying, hey, chill, this is fake.
Yeah, a lot of us are just like, oh, man, wow.
I mean, I guess it can kind of be funny when it's like a dumb little quote, but like a video of you beating someone up who you say is...
mentally handicapped?
I mean, that's, come on.
Yeah, it's a little too far.
Just delete your account, fake quote. But like, be funny if you're going to be... Good satire is so satirical that you know it's fake. You know, like this is just stupid.
Humor is an art.
It is.
It really is.
It is, yeah. Oh, powerful words by you, Chris.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So
yeah.
Do I take artists. A picture now and then submit that or send it?
Yeah, just like you always do with the pictures.
Yeah, just snap it out.
On Snapchat. I can't. Well, I don't have access to the Fox Sports Knoxville Snapchat.
Take a picture.
We don't have. Do we?
We
have
do.
One?
It's just not ever used.
Mm. Yeah, it probably shouldn't be.
Just take a picture like you would on Snapchat, Yikes. But on your actual phone, and then
you
just tweet it out.
Kind of half close your eyes though, so people. There you go. There you go.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
the one. That's the one. Looking good.
He does look funny when he smiles with that.
Now you have to wear that all day. You know,
all day at the station.
All day, period. Wherever you go, whatever you do.
I think you should go to lunch like that somewhere.
Like I said, I'm going to watch The Joker.
Are you really?
Have you ever seen anyone do their hair? Like,
no.
What do you mean?
Like, just the way you're always fidgeting with your hair, and you're always making this, like, weird. Like,
I do have the best hair at Fox Sports Knoxville, so.
Well, that's not saying much. Is it? Who am I
forgetting? I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
I'm right. You know it. That's why you're not
throwing anybody else. I don't really notice it. Congrats, though.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had the 98 degrees hair a while back. That was
When you had the tank top and the spray tan with that hair going that day, you did look like a boy band member. It's weird they're called boy bands. They really don't play any instruments. They just sing. It's a group.
Yeah,
like the '90s, it was they
still weren't bands. Sang. I get what you're saying. A band has instruments.
Right.
Yeah.
Typically.
Right. But yeah, they don't. Mm. No, very strange. We'll come back. Mm. Got to hit a quick break.
Yes, let's hit a break.
If you want to weigh in on Mississippi State, Tennessee, with your thoughts, the floor is just wide open. Wherever you want to take it, 865-546-8200. All phone calls brought to you on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. It's brought to you by Eli Corum with Keller Williams. Check them out online at nextdoorhomes.com.
Pride of the Southland band playing Rocky Top. Smokey leading our boys out through the tee.
This segment of the program brought to you by MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. Going to place a wager and not sure who to do it with. We'd love for you to do it with MyBookie and support Fan Run Radio. If you use the promo code Knoxville and you're going to play a lot, you can double your initial deposit. Just make sure you read about rollovers with the free money. You can't just like bet one time and pull that money back out. So keep that in mind. You can always turn it down. If you don't want to double your deposit. But if you do, make sure to use the promo code Knoxville so you can let MyBookie know that you heard about them right here on Fan Run Radio. Man, I watched that Saturdays in the South. It was 1990s edition. Can't remember what episode that is. Part six, part seven, something like that. I think it's part
six.
Six.
Sounds
about
right.
It's an eight-part, yeah. An eight-part series, it's very, very good. Obviously, the 90s started with...
it's nice that we have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the 90s. We look back, but we got to look forward to that episode.
Right.
And now they're going to do 2000s, which the first half were good. First half of 2000s is pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
You know.
Yeah.
So That's a thing.
Well, the only painful part about the 2000s preview at the end of the 90s episode is it the final kind of bullet point. I can't remember the second one. The first one was actually like Lou Holtz coming to South Carolina was their first little bullet point, their teaser for the 2000s. Then I can't remember the second one. But the final one was, a three-win team brings down a coach from the Big Ten to resurrect their program. And, of course, it's Nick Saban.
Well, that worked.
But the 90s edition was good. I mean, it started with Steve Spurrier going to Florida in the 90s, but it ended the whole last...
With the big orange.
Yeah, and in the middle, you had a lot of Spurrier and Peyton Manning and Philip Fulmer. They had Philip Fulmer interviews, Peyton Manning interviews, Peerless Price. There might have been some other Tennessee guys I'm missing. They had some Tennessee media members on there. It was good. It was well done.
Always is.
And that was obviously the whole...
Now, that I don't know what crew was responsible for all that, but they did a really good job with the interviews and the editing and the stories that they've told through that
it's
kind
been,
of series. It's been really, really good. It's a really good idea.
And that was a big chunk of that show. It was about just the 98 season for Tennessee.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Pretty good year for this, the guys in orange.
I mean, talk about how they're ranked 10th to start the season. That was the lowest ranking they had had during that whole kind of stretch run.
Well, they had lost Peyton. They had lost, Joey Kent. You lost Marcus Nash. There was just a lot of questions around that team. But the defense was so nasty. They gave T. Martin some time early in the year to kind of find a stride. The offense figured it out. And then by the end of the year, we were just kind of cooking.
I think the best quote.
And then we didn't have to face Chris Winkie in the title game. Well, that helped.
Peerless Price said.
He broke his back. Broke my back.
He said, Chris Winkie's been killing us ever since.
Okay.
Peerless Price said, I'll be honest. Did I have concerns losing Peyton and going to T like before the season? Absolutely. Like I was worried. Yeah. But once we got started and the defense was so good right out of the gate, we just told T, look, you don't have to be Peyton. Just be you. Just, you know.
Chuck it deep a lot, and that's what he did.
Just play your style. And, that was good. It had a whole bunch of stuff about Peyton's recruitment process. Archie's interviewed in there, like a new interview with Archie Manning, talking about that. It was great. Peyton coming back, that whole deal was.
Yeah, I would recommend anybody watch this whole series. It really gives you a good history of the SEC, all the elite coaches, and then you learn a lot of stuff about them that you just didn't know before.
You know what was cool, too, last night is they tied in stuff from whatever part. I mean, it wasn't even the previous. It wasn't even the 80s. It was all the way back to, like, Archie Manning losing to Alabama.
By one and crying, and then Peyton going down there and whacking them with the first play touchdown to Kent.
Yep. The bootleg, like, the whole deal. And Archie, it had shots of him in the crowd.
I saw
from that night.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched that game recently, and I don't remember them showing him in the crowd. I guess they had just, like, a secondary camera getting his reaction the whole night. It was pretty cool. It was really neat.
They had, obviously they had Spurrier losing to Georgia, which cost Florida the SEC championship as a player. And then it showed there's a game, I think it was 95, where the Jacksonville Stadium was being renovated. So they played the Florida-Georgia game in Sanford Stadium. And Spurrier's reading the media guide the week before and realizes no one's ever scored 50 in Sanford Stadium.
I remember that being a thing.
And Ike Hilliard, it might have been Rydell Anthony. One of those receivers is interviewed like saying, because Spurrier to this day won't say that he specifically tried to hang 50, but basically one of his receivers just now outed him for good because he said he walked up to him as they're running routes before the game, and he said, no one's ever scored 50 here, and just said that was a good route and walked off. And he's like, so he obviously was trying to hang 50 on him. But even in an interview,
how many did they score?
52. I think it was like 52-19, something like that. Mm. So even to this day, an interview for this particular program, Spurrier said, well, we weren't really trying to just score to score. I mean, we were just running our stuff, and that's what happened. He still won't admit it. Spurrier's wife's in there, who's always hilarious. Like, she's great.
Jerry.
And I don't know. It was funny, though. At the other part that I thought was interesting is Ray Goff is interviewed. He basically got fired at Georgia because he was so bad, and especially Florida just crushed him. Spurrier was 11-1 against Georgia while at Florida.
They weren't very good when Spurrier was at
Florida. Yeah, because Ray Goff was awful.
Yeah.
And
then they got Jim Donnan, who was better but still not great, and then they got Ricked, and that's when everything changed.
I can't believe that they got Ray Goff to do interviews for this program because he basically had to answer the question of, do you hate Steve Spurrier? And he kind of played it nice, but also basically said, yes, I don't understand why he made it personal. Like, I would never do that. Like, I when we beat people bad, we never tried to run up the score. So there was some animosity even within the show, which I thought was pretty good to get that, to be able to pull that out from these people who obviously, typically.
Time heals.
Typically people don't do that. So it's pretty good.
Time heals.
It was nice to have the whole last part of the show be about Tennessee, though. Man, there's current, former interviews and all that good stuff. So now we try and get back there. And a win on Saturday would go a long, long way. It's been forever since we've beaten a West team, right? Like, can't even remember.
Auburn.
Oh, wait.
So,
yeah,
1 year.
That was last year.
Yeah, about a year
but
ago.
But last year, it was forever before that.
Yes,
yeah,
before that. Yeah. Yeah. It had been Ole Miss in
2007?
No, you beat Ole Miss in 2011 or 12. Ole Miss came in on a noon kick on CBS, and Justin Hunter caught that tip pass, ran 80 yards. I think before that it had been a minute. No, it couldn't have been that long because you beat, there's like a Mississippi State win somewhere in there in the mid
Kiffin
or early 2000s. No, he lost to Ole Miss and Bama. That was the Dexter McCluster game where he just absolutely ran all over us. We could do nothing that game in Oxford.
What year are you Ole Missing the win?
2011, maybe.
I didn't see it there. Maybe 10?
Maybe 10.
10.
10.
10.
Yeah.
2010.
They came
52
in.
52 to 14.
Yeah. Blasted them.
Mm-hmm.
Felt good. Felt real nice.
That's when Dooley won the last four games of the year.
Everyone was excited.
Yeah.
Mm. Then the next year, that's when Hunter got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Florida game.
Florida. I remember my friend punched a wall.
You'd have won five in a row if that
you beat
the runoff rule had been there.
It's true. You did beat, but you smoked Butch Jones.
We should have known.
Smoked him in 2011. He brought that little stupid Cincinnati team.
Shout out to my buddy.
Isaiah Pete had a big touchdown run.
My buddy John Tucker. I think you've met him at a remote before or whatever. He's the one guy texted me the night they hired, the day they hired Butch Jones.
I remember that was the first tweet I read. I think Feels Like 98 tweeted it out. Well, I can't believe we just hired the one guy that Derek Dooley twerked. And then I said, yeah, I'm out on this guy. And then I got back in on the guy and then eventually was out again.
Everybody's out, yeah. Mm.
Good times. Mississippi State.
I watched them play Kentucky yesterday.
Oh, you went and did some scouting?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I thought they looked like a normal, like the kind of mid-tier SEC team we've been talking about the last two seasons. I feel like they – Bob Stoops' defense at Mississippi State seemed to know where to be, and that's kind of half the battle when you play a team like Kentucky. They got a pick six early because Sawyer
Smith,
is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Was that Tubby Smith's son's name also?
Saul Smith.
He wasn't Sawyer?
No.
So that's confusing to me. Yeah, Saul Smith. Anyway, Sawyer Smith threw like a stick route to the tight end on the wrong side of his body. And it went for a pick six. I feel like Bob Stoops' defense at least kind of knew where to be, it felt like, throughout the game. Like, they didn't seem to give up a lot of just really, really bad plays, bad angles, blown coverages, that sort of thing. But I don't know. Like, all these offenses are pretty similar now, it feels like. I mean, I know Joe Moorhead does more stuff with the quarterback, depending on who it is, and running them more. But, I mean, it's still a bunch of spread football. They do... One thing that I noticed a lot is they will start a flex tight end and try and bring them into the formation and then try and run the football.
Mm.
I wonder if Jeremy Pruitt will have some automatic calls where when that tight end comes in and becomes a new blocker, will we roll a safety up and match the personnel in the box? Because Georgia State completely messed our world up by out-counting us in the box, and we didn't adjust till it was just too late.
I realize that they're going to throw the ball. You just have to stop the run this week. Like, that's what they're going to do. They're going to give it to what's the running back's name? Hill?
Kylan Hill.
Kylan.
Yeah,
I keep wanting to
tough.
Say Kate Kasim, but that's our guy. Kylan Hill, pretty good little running back, and then they're going to run their quarterbacks. That's just what they're going to do. But, I mean, the Mitchell kid's good, Osiris Mitchell. I think you could probably go away with walking a safety up every time. And I don't know, who would you spy the quarterback with in this one? Would you spy with a safety and let the linebackers key in on the running backs? Or would you say, hey, Nigel, don't let six or seven escape the pocket? Like, do you trust Nigel Warrior to go tackle one of these quarterbacks in open space?
No, I'd use a linebacker. Our linebackers can't cover anyway.
Batuli.
That's fair.
Well, I mean.
Hank T?
Probably Hank.
Yep.
I mean. I Batuli, like, green dog the running back, mainly. Like, I don't understand why they don't just play a lot of single high man coverage.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, stop the run.
I'm putting an extra guy in the box this game. And I'm saying if you want to beat us, you're going to have to throw to Osiris Mitchell. I would run blitz, and then if they decide to run play action off of that, I would at least you're blitzing. Like, at least you're going to maybe get some pressure. And then just make sure that somebody's keeping an eye on the quarterback. Because they're going to do a lot of design run. They do that little Tim Tebow, like, step forward, lean down, fake the handoff, or fake the quarterback run, and then they'll stand up and throw it, and then they'll do a lot of, you know, like play-action runs where they take the shotgun snap, set up to pass, and then they, you know, pull a guard, and then they follow the guy down the sideline. We just need to be P's and Q's on the run game because that's what they're going to try to get going. I think they're okay passing the football, but they are They're going to win if they rush all over you.
Yeah, I don't understand why we've played so much too high, like too high safeties. I just don't – I don't get it. Like, I don't know, maybe because they have been pretty good on the run defense, but and maybe that's the that's what the coaching staff thinks is the best way to – like, if you allow teams to kind of eat up some clock and you kind of play bend but don't break because you feel like your offense isn't going to score a ton of points anyway
mm-hmm. –
maybe that's their thinking. So it's like, we'll just stay in too high. We'll make sure that we don't get beat. Our guys up front aren't great at rushing the passer, so we'll protect with coverage. They're decent at stopping the run. Eventually, we'll hopefully get off the field, force a lot of field goals if we have to, and score enough to win. Maybe that's their philosophy. But I feel like in these games against Mississippi State and the teams coming up that are in the same realm, like, you should be able to challenge more of these guys one-on-one with some help.
You can take more chances moving forward.
Let's stuff the run and get them in third and 10 instead of third and 3.
Yeah, I would much rather them be in forced passing situations than second and 2, 3, 4 where, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of the play caller.
Yeah.
Like, I think, again, I think they're pretty good offensively, but I think this is actually a game where Pruitt can dictate a little bit what they're going to have to do. And I really hope he... I'm not saying you go complete cavalier here, but I would really like to see him take some chances. I'd like to see that Auburn performance from last year where he's just telling guys, hey, go get him. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. where there's just more risks being taken,
yeah.
but it kind of pays off. Because I think you're going to have to force some turnovers this weekend. Especially
well, that's the thing. He keeps being an emin about not having turnovers, but we're not playing a defensive style that leads to turnovers.
No, I know. Yeah, we're just kind of sitting back. I mean, just watch the Georgia tape. We sat back and ate and gave Fromm all day. You're not going to force turnovers that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried to punch the ball out from Harrion instead of tackling him. I guess you could say that's one way we're trying. But, like, let's take some chances. Let's send some guys. Let's give up a safety over the top to make sure we're getting at the quarterback. Because against these receivers, I would trust our DBs more so than against Georgia or Bama or even Florida.
Final segment, hour two next. Final segment, hour number two, Wednesday edition. Davey's got his makeup on. Going to see the Joker today, so I guess that
mixed reviews on that one.
Yeah.
People saying it's good, it's just not for everybody. It's really dark, I've heard. Really dark.
Mm-hmm.
I'll like it.
You what?
I said I'll probably like it then.
Yeah, you're a dark person.
Got some questions about what show we're talking about. It's called Saturdays in the South. It's airs Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on SEC Network. There, I guess there's two more parts, right? Yeah, 7 and 8. It's a 12-hour movie, basically, that they've chopped into an hour and a half length parts. And it's just so well done. I mean, it's I don't know. It's been really good. Starts all the way back with the birth of college football, but it only focuses on the Southeastern Conference. So
yeah, none of that other junk.
So there's not a lot of stuff about like it mentions, for example, it mentions Yale,
Harvard,
and Harvard a little bit when it talks about the early days of college football, but it just kind of only in the context of how it applies to the South. I mean, there's more stuff about Sewanee being in the original SEC than there is any Northeastern starts of football. So it's great.
They talk about Teddy Roosevelt forming the NCAA?
No, not really. I mean, they mentioned it. But I thought it was interesting. They didn't even really denote they didn't really talk about the Ford Pass becoming a thing. They just kind of blew right past that, talking about all the other stuff.
They did mention it, though.
They mentioned
how
it.
Like Newt Rockne popped it out at Notre Dame and beat somebody they weren't supposed to beat, and then it trickled in. But they didn't like spend a lot of time on it.
Did you see ESPN ran the graphic, I think, yesterday? It was the anniversary of Georgia Tech beating Cumberland 222-0.
Yep.
And they even had the stats up there.
Happy anniversary.
103 years, is that right?
I don't know, something like that. They had 900-something yards rushing. Like we were talking about turnovers for Tennessee. It was like 16 turnovers or something.
At least it won't get that bad here.
True.
Don't tempt fate. I don't want to see Tommy Stevens in the end zone 9 times this weekend. Why would you do that?
Well, the only other game I've seen a single player scored 9 touchdowns. That team ended up losing. So
that's a good point by you.
UCLA beat Washington State.
Yeah.
Still mad about
that
it.
That one still hurts. Yeah. I'm with you. I guess. Am I drawing my helmet at 9:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Are you getting nervous yet?
When am I going to have my picks for the weekend or for Friday? When am I going to get those games, Davey?
Since you and Billy are out, I'll do it after the show today.
Okay.
Then you're just going to text them in?
Yeah.
Read them,
I guess,
there.
Yeah.
Billy's got to send his in, too.
Mm.
It's a tough week in the league.
It is. It's going to be tough.
It's a big tough weekend draw in the SEC, though. This is, like, we're going to learn a lot this weekend. Like, Florida as a 13-point dog at LSU is interesting, but I think LSU might just be the truth.
It's got to be tough for Florida, too, to play two of these types of games in a row. I know one was at home, but still. I mean, you don't really want to have to ramp up back-to-back weeks against two really good SEC West opponents. I mean, this is number 7 against number 5. Like, it's, I mean, that number kind of seems big. 13.5 for LSU, but they scored so many points this year. I get it.
And they got the night game, which obviously LSU, they love that down there. I bet if CBS could go back in time and make this decision, they'd much rather have Florida LSU at 3:30 than Alabama at Texas A&M. Although, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Alabama only like a 13-point favorite over Texas A&M?
I don't have it on the board here. I don't
really.
It's weird.
I'll find it.
I think it's 13, which seems interesting. It's also weird that A&M is still ranked, in my opinion.
I think they kind of kept them around that spot just for this game, and they'll drop out after here.
Probably. I mean, they've played a very tough schedule, don't get me wrong. But they, I don't know.
I think
the Auburn game was not as close as the score indicated, and neither was Clemson, really. Auburn rolled all game.
This was a couple years ago, but in 2016, didn't Tennessee stay top 10 even after losing to A&M because he had Alabama the next week?
I think
just to make it a top 10.
Because it was 8-9 versus the A&M game was 8-9.
And I thought you only fell like one spot. Just so they could
it was close. If we weren't top 10, we were like 11 or 12.
I'm seeing Alabama 16.5.
16.5. I think it opened at 13 and has gone, obviously, towards the Crimson Tide, which makes sense. Hmm. I don't know if anybody can catch the Tide wide receivers. They are just stupid good. It's amazing how Alabama went from just, as you mentioned this, I think earlier in the week or late last week, game manager at quarterback to we're going to throw for 500 yards a game. Please try and stop us. Like, at this point, it just seems like it's going to be, well, talking backwards a little bit to LSU, like LSU-Alabama is going to be a great game. Alabama gets them at home, and for some reason, Alabama just seems to have LSU's number. So I'm going to take, you know, I'm thinking Alabama wins that game. Georgia is, like, not super flashy, but I do think this might be a year where they could get Alabama if they can figure out how to slow down Tua a little bit. But it just seems like it's going to be, at least at this point, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson. Like, that just seems like what we're headed towards. And frankly, I want to see it. Like, Jalen Hurts right now is playing out of his mind at Oklahoma. Clemson, maybe a little bit of a first quarter of the season hangover, first third of the season hangover, but I still think it's they're not going to lose a game, not in the ACC. Ohio State scares me just because they and Michigan always drop one that they really shouldn't, but it just seems like we're kind of headed for the inevitable. Although this is the weekend of the Red River rivalry. You can't say shootout anymore, and that's a big one.
Yep, that's a big one as well.
It's always close, too.
Yeah, a lot going on at noon this weekend, and we'll come back, kick off hour 3 next.